and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. This is a solo episode, so I am on my own. I'm back. We've had some amazing guests, but I'm really excited to talk to you about something today. We are in such a time of uncertainty that I wanted to look into the psychological reasons of why we might be feeling like that. If there was something else behind the fact that myself and lots of people that I've spoken to are struggling in this sort of new wave of lockdown, and it's been super interesting to explore it. So I'm going to talk through it all with you and see how we get on. So, as we all know, things might change very quickly. We've got new lockdown measures and the Northwest has particularly been hit badly by them. Manchester's a hotspot at the moment, high risk and on red alert. If you've got the COVID app, I put my location in and I got a, you are in the red area, you need to be very careful. It is very different in Manchester. You can't meet people you don't live with in your home or in your garden. That's illegal. And it's also strongly advised that you don't meet people you don't live with in a public venue like a bar. I booked to go to Albert Schloss with my friends as a rule of six at the weekend, and I had to cancel my booking because they check, obviously, when the rules had changed, because we were all from different households, we weren't allowed in. So completely get that we've got to look after people. It's just changing so much, it's difficult to be able to keep up. The schools are back, but now so many schools are closed. And as of Saturday, the 3rd of October, COVID cases have now been confirmed at 369 Greater Manchester schools since the start of the academic year, which is just mind-boggling, isn't it? Nearly 2,000 first-year Manchester Met students have been told to isolate in their halls and they're not allowed to leave. They've put signs up in the windows like HMP, MMU and refund and let us out. And if you follow our page Student Problems, we've actually done some interviews with some of the students, which is very interesting and something that I would recommend you watch. There's a 10 p.m. curfew on hospitality and Boris Johnson said he expects these restrictions to last for 6 months or around 6 months. The hospitality industry are campaigning to cancel the curfew, and images and witness accounts have surfaced to prove that it's probably doing more harm than good, because if you've been around anywhere at around 10 o'clock at night, the streets are being flooded with crowds of people that when the bars and clubs close at the same time are then trying to go to the off license together, so they're crammed in an even tinier space. It feels like there's no end to what's going on. When will it all be over? Is Christmas going to be cancelled? Bonfire night, which is actually my favourite night of the year, is going to be cancelled. We've got no firework celebrations in Manchester for bonfire night, for New Year, for Christmas. We've got none of that. And it feels like there's not any light at the end of the tunnel. And for me personally, the last 6 months, I think I was okay in the first round of lockdown because it kind of, you knew that the end was going to come at some point. And then we saw a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel and then it all went back again. I'm in two minds over it. I think when it was announced that we were going to go back into some sort of lockdown, I panicked because I really did not want to go into being isolated in my home on my own again. Like Lucy and I have talked about it, and it's something that I wrote on my LinkedIn, that actually working from home loneliness is really, I really struggled with it. And I know a lot of people didn't understand it, but actually being in your home on your own all day, every day is really, really hard. Whether you're working or not, I'm very lucky, incredibly lucky in this time that I am working and I've got stuff to keep me busy. But still at the end of the day, when you've been in the same space all day, you've got no friends and family coming around because they can't, because and you're wanting to protect them so you don't see them. It can get incredibly lonely. So that thought of going back into a second lockdown really did scare me. And I struggle with anxiety anyway because of things that have gone on in my past. Instances like when I had my miscarriage, I think that probably made me more anxious and it's impacted my anxiety moving forward. And I definitely felt it when we heard about the second lockdown. I think I felt quite a lot of fear. But also I want to protect my family. I want to protect my dad. I want to protect my mum. I don't want to pass anything on to anyone else in the office. I don't want to make anyone poorly. So I feel very torn, really torn between wanting to live my life, but also look after everyone that I care about. And you can see that reaction from other people as well. It's not just me that feels like that. So there's definite anxiousness about the second wave being worse than the first. So I've done a series of polls on my Instagram story. 75% of people said that the thought of a second lockdown worried them. And worrying about the winter months, if you suffer from seasonal affectiveness disorder or SAD, you might be looking at your calendar with an underlying feeling of dread. The months between November and March can be the toughest for people with seasonal depression. And unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be much worse this year. And it feels like we are entering a perfect storm of mental health stresses at the moment. Mental health is something that we definitely need to be looking at and kinder to each other and looking at the way we talk to each other, especially online. I think it's just taking into consideration that everyone's at a different point in how they feel about what's going on in the world right now, and just having a bit of compassion, I think, is incredibly important. The critical stress factors this winter are going to include lockdowns, which is working from home and seeing your family less and your friends less, mean increasingly isolated lives. There's a massive amount of uncertainty, so worries over employment and the economy and creating that feeling of anxiousness. And also poor weather means less opportunity to leave the house for fresh air and exercise. Something that I've really struggled with, because I'm trying to do this couch to 5K and I don't want to be going out in the dark, especially as a female. It makes me quite nervous to go out in the dark running on my own. And 80% of people on my Instagram story poll said that a lockdown in winter would be much tougher. This all sounds really, really depressing. But right now, if you are feeling a little bit shit, there are three research-backed psychological reasons as to why you might be. So don't you worry, there is a reason why we're all feeling like this. The first is surge capacity. In the first few months of lockdown, we were using surge capacity to operate. So surge capacity, what is that exactly? And it's the mental and physical ability to adapt to an intensely stressful situation, like the death of a loved one, or natural disasters. These survivalist reactions give us the surge that help us to cope in such situations. But natural disasters, for example, occur over a short period of time, even if recovery is long. The pandemic is very different because the disaster, it's actually stretching itself out what looks like indefinitely right now. So there's no end in sight for us. This is different from a hurricane or a tornado, where you can look outside and you can see the damage. The destruction for most people right now is invisible and it's ongoing. The pandemic has demonstrated both what we can do with surge capacity and what happens when it's depleted. When it's depleted, it needs to be renewed. But what happens when you struggle to renew it because the emergency phase has gone on for so long? How does that refer to the pandemic? We are being encouraged to adjust to this new normal, the phase that I hate, but I think that's what we are in now. But it's much, much easier said than done. How do you adjust to an ever-changing situation, something where the lines are moving constantly, where the new normal is indefinite and we've got this mass amount of uncertainty? How do you recognise then if your surge capacity has depleted? It's anxiety, tainted depression mixed with dissatisfaction that you just can't kick, along with a complete inability to concentrate. Now, I've definitely felt that. I've really struggled with motivation to try and concentrate on what task I'm meant to be doing, what I'm meant to do next. And you can feel incredibly fatigued and as a result, burnt out. And I think that's something that we can probably all sympathize with. We all ran into this pandemic at the speed of light, trying to fix whatever we could in the moment. But the longer it goes on, the harder it is to really figure out exactly how we're going to manage it, how we're going to deal with it, because everything changes so often. And it's like you've just got something else to deal with after something else to deal with, and it takes its toll on you. And it's definitely one of the reasons that I have managed my phone use and my social media use and the amount of screen time I'm having, because if I'm constantly looking at things, it doesn't help me with my burnout, because it's what I'm doing all day, every day. So I've needed to take control in some other ways. I've actually ordered hard copies of a magazine, which might sound crazy, but I've really looked at some of the things that make me happy and the things that bring me joy. And actually physically looking through a magazine is something that really makes me happy. So I've really took a step back and thought about things that I can do to prevent burnout in myself by bringing myself a little bit of joy. Different. Past research on disaster and trauma focuses on mostly on what helps people during the recovery period, but we're nowhere near recovery yet. You can use your surge capacity for short periods, but when severely stressful circumstances drag on, it's important to adapt to different approaches of coping. That might help you a little bit of knowing that there is something going on within our psychological makeup, surge capacity, that is impacting the way that we approach things. The second thing is a six-month slump. 75% of people on my Instagram story poll said that they're struggling with motivation right now, and that links again to that surge capacity that I talked about. If you're one of these people, I've got another answer for you, and it's called the six-month slump. I saw this shared on an Instagram profile by Mamma Mia Oz, which I hope I've got right, but I'm reading it as one word, and you just never know half the time, so apologies if I did get that wrong. It's been 6 months since the pandemic threw the whole world into complete disarray, and the risk of burnout has now become even more acute as the novelty's worn off of being at home and being able to put a wash on in the middle of the day. Because of the 6 month slump, you might be experiencing chronic exhaustion, cynicism, angry outbursts, poor quality of sleep, and a sense of discouragement towards your job or life situation. There's three factors that are contributing to this. Working remotely equals less separation between your work and your home life. I have found working remotely, well, I've found a really good balance actually. So now with my working from home, I use that time to really get jobs done that I can't do in the office. And then when I'm coming into the office, which I do every couple of days a week, I do for a couple of days a week, basically, I use it as a way to connect with people that I work with, try and use it as a collaborative space. Also try and do a couple of TikToks because it's one of the things that I like to do. I just like to be a bit silly with the people that I work with. I do not want to do working remotely all the time. I think there's real value in being in the office and being around people, which I can't do when I'm at home. So personally, for me, I've taken control of the situation and I've done what's the right thing for me. And that's what one of the things that I'd recommend. The next thing is something that I've definitely felt is the pressure to feel grateful. Like I said, there was a post that went on my LinkedIn about working from home loneliness, and I got responses about it being a first world problem and how I mustn't have any friends or a life, that I can't see my family and all this sort of stuff. And just because I've got a job, I should be grateful for that. And it wasn't a case of that. I'm not ever going to say that I'm not grateful that I've got a job, and I'm not the worst off by any stretch. I think it's the first time I've ever really experienced, it's not trolling, but it kind of is. It's like someone judging me on my life. And it's the first time I've ever experienced that. There was another comment about someone comparing it to getting divorced, and it feels like there's always like an element of one-upmanship that someone's got it worse than you do. And I just think we've all got to consider that everyone's going through something. This is hard for everybody, and everyone's going to come at it from a different angle. And I think just to be kind to each other and consider everyone's feelings in this is, it's really simple, but it's obviously not happening at the moment. And I think that's one of the things that I've put out on social that's really hit me. Like ever, the personal brand is building, and we've got a lot of followers that Lucy and I, like, we manage really well. But that element of someone making judgments on my life and saying that I don't have friends, it was really horrible. I really didn't enjoy it, actually, to be honest. The only other time that I felt that is when we put the episode out about miscarriage, and I posted the promo on LinkedIn. People wrote underneath, like, why do you think LinkedIn's an appropriate platform to talk about this sort of stuff? I didn't take that as personally as I did with the loneliness comments, which I found really weird, because I think with the miscarriage stuff, I knew that it was the right thing to do, whereas this just felt like a personal attack on my circumstances. It was a very odd feeling. It's something I'm going to have to really get used to, I think. The third thing is a lost sense of progression and routine in our lives. So there's a lot less to look forward to. And even if you are looking forward to things, things can get cancelled. I've been really fortunate this year, a pressure to feel grateful, that I hadn't booked any holidays. So for me, I haven't had any holidays cancelled, but I also have got a lot less to look forward to. I haven't lost a sense of progression because there's been a lot of change in our working lives. So for me, I've been thrown into something else completely, and I've got a lot more responsibility than I had at the start of the year. So for me, my progression is really clear at the moment, but I can completely see it when I talk to people internally. There's this fear that we're just on a treadmill at the moment, and it's a slog, especially when the rules change, that it's hard to get motivated and get through and want to progress, really. It's hard to see light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm trying my best just to find little things to look forward to do. I went to Freight Island in Manchester on Saturday with six friends, because you can do that because it's outside, so it's fine. And I had a great time just catching up with people. My friend did text me saying I wasn't allowed to touch her before I got there, and I realised how much I like to hug people. The final reason why you might be feeling bad right now is something called ambiguous loss. I recently came across some work of someone called Pauline Boss, PhD. Pauline is a family therapist and professor at the University of Minnesota. She specialises in something called ambiguous loss. And along with depleted surge capacity and the recent 6-month slump, this could be something that's contributing to feelings of anxiousness, sadness, and stress right now. Her research is incredibly interesting, and I'll summarize it for you here. Ambiguous loss is defined as any loss that's unclear or lacks resolution. Examples are a missing person, the loss of a limb, or having a family member with dementia. In this case, it's a loss of a way of life. So the ability to be able to meet up with your friends and family, loss of trust in the government, a loss of high quality education, loss of rituals, weddings, graduations, even funerals. Unfortunately, my best friend lost her father-in-law last week. I just want to be there to go and support her and her family, and I can't go. And that sort of thing really, that's what gets to me. Ambiguous loss elicits the same experiences of grief as more tangible loss. For example, denial, anger, depression, and acceptance. But managing it usually requires a bit of creativity. There are things you can do to help right now. And I've got some practical steps that are going to help make you feel better. 8 practical steps that are going to help to replenish your surge capacity, to cope with this ambiguous loss, and to get over the 6-month slump that's causing a lack of motivation. Here are my tips, practical advice that you can take and do right now. So accept that things are different right now. You need to accept that it's just a difficult time and keep telling yourself that you're doing a good job and it is a difficult time. If you're having a tough day, you've got to justify it and say, that's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. It's what's going on, and accept that this is the baseline. This radical form of acceptance is hard, but really necessary. And don't give yourself a hard time, I think, is the big thing there. But acceptance doesn't mean giving up. It just means not resisting or fighting the reality of things you can't change. So you can use your energies on other things, which I think is really important, because it's hard to get that energy up now, that focusing your energy in the wrong places and worrying about things you can't control will take away the energy that you can put into making yourself feel better. I have and haven't accepted it. I think I try my very best to accept it in the moment. I've always been a worrier, and I've really tried to not worry about things I can't control, which is hard. It's really hard. But I've got a really strong team behind me. I was having a bit of a hard day today, and I got in the car because I worked this morning from home. And I got in the car and I just rang my dad, and my dad gave me a pep talk in the car on a Monday. I got a pep talk from my dad. Big world, sorted it out. And I got into work and I was still a bit cranky, but I was much better than I was. So it's having the right people around you just to say, it's okay. And just talk you around. It's all about having cheerleaders that you can talk to and make yourself feel better. The second tip you can do is recognize the different aspects of grief. So we've all heard about the stages of grief, but contrary to popular belief, they don't occur in linear stages. So denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance are all the key concepts of facing loss, but they can all happen sporadically. So how does this relate to the pandemic? People in denial, thinking that the virus isn't real, that the number of cases and deaths aren't as high as reported, or that masks don't work. I've seen it on social today where people are reposting stories about the masks not working. Anger is evident everywhere. As I've just said, you've seen it on my social media. Anger at those that are in denial, anger at those not physically distancing or wearing masks, anger at the government. Bargaining is mostly with scientists we hope will develop a vaccine quickly. Depression is very obvious. In June, almost one in five adults were likely to be experiencing some form of depression. Who has been hit the hardest? Well, it's adults aged 16 to 39, female, unable to afford unexpected expense, or those that are disabled are the ones that are most likely to experience some form of depression. And then acceptance. Returning to point one, we need to accept that this is what's going on right now. The situation is out of all of our control and we can't do much about it. And it's tough. It's really tough to think that way. So my third tip is to expect less from yourself. For the majority of our lives, we've always been told to demand more from ourselves and keep pushing ourselves. Now we've got to give ourselves the permission to do the opposite. I always talk about squiggly careers, but it's just because I'm obsessed with what they talk about and the way that they discuss things. And we did a training session with Squiggly Careers about growth mentality in the middle of lockdown. And they put up a cross chart about where you're feeling right now and whether you're in your comfort zone. And there's always this sort of negative thing about your comfort zone. And in fact, you shouldn't be sat in it, because if you sat in your comfort zone, you're not growing and developing. But actually what Squiggly Careers and what Helen was talking to us about from Amazing If was that sometimes you need to be in your comfort zone because it's the best thing for you and your mental health. That if you're in your comfort zone, you are surviving and you're doing what you can. It doesn't mean you're doing a bad job. It just means that you're comfortable in what you're doing in terms of work. And I think this is exactly that. This is a period of self-discovery, and expect less from ourselves means that we can take time to ask ourselves where we get our energy from, what sort of downtime we need, like I've done, like turning my apps off and things like that, really focusing on yourself and what you need. The discomfort many of us feel, which a sort of disinterested boredom, is common in research on burnout, but other emotions come hand in hand, such as disappointment, grief, sadness, fear, and exhaustion. No one can fully function at full capacity with what's going on. So don't give yourself a hard time. Am I expecting less from myself? No, I'm probably not. But for me, with my change in role and the more responsibility that I've been given at Social Chain, I think I'm putting more pressure on myself than I ever have before. And little things can go wrong and then I'll beat myself up for days about it. And I need to take my own advice. This research has been really useful, actually, because it makes you look inwards rather than carrying on running. And it's something that I need to be a bit better about. I keep telling myself that this is going to be the hardest thing I've ever got to deal with in my career. I just can't imagine going through this ever again. I never want to hear the word furlough ever again. The fourth tip is to experiment with both and thinking. Pauline Boss noted that there's an alternative to binary thinking that many people find helpful when coping with ambiguous loss, both and thinking. It's all about embracing a bit of the irrational. So if you stay rational when nothing else is rational, you'll just stress yourself out even more, which is an actually really fascinating concept. A comparable approach right now would be to think this is terrible and many people are dying, but this is also a time for families to come closer together. When you can't change the situation, this is the only thing you can do to change your perception of what's going on. And I think I've done that in the way that I have looked at the things that I really enjoy, taken a step back and then focused on doing more of that. So things like ordering magazines, when I went a little bit loopy in lockdown and I ordered paint by numbers that cost me a fortune and I haven't finished them. But that was in trying to find something that would give me joy. And that's why I did that. The fifth tip is look for activities, old and new, that fulfill you, which is linked to what I've just said. Lots of coping advice right now is focused on self-care. But one of the frustrating ironies in the pandemic is that a lot of self-care practices have been taken away from us. So we need to get really creative. And at a time when we don't feel like getting creative, And this is where I have had to really stop and think about my values and what brings me joy that I don't really have to focus on. And it was really strange because it was when I was sat in my garden that I thought, I don't want to keep reading my phone. I want to be able to hold something tangible. I love fashion magazines. I just love looking at the clothes. So that's when I looked at buying an actual hard copy of a magazine. Other things that I've really enjoyed is like going to the local grocers. Sounds really bizarre, but it's not something I would have done before. But I just love going in the local grocers and picking out really fresh fruit and veg that I can then use for cooking, and they taste so much better. And it's finding the things that will make you feel like you've got a bit of normality in your life, which is one of the reasons why exercise is so important to me as well. Because if that feels like normal. If I'm in the gym with my PT, it feels like normal because she's shouting at me to do another burpee. And that takes it away from the craziness of what's going on right now. And borrowing dogs. Those are the things that make me happy. And what I've realised is actually, it's not all about spending money. It's actually the things that make you happy are usually things that don't cost as much as you would be spending in the past, which is interesting. The sixth tip that I've got for you is all about maintaining and strengthening important relationships. So the most important thing when going through adversity is to have a strong support system around you and remain connected to those people. And that includes helping others, even when we feel depleted ourselves. For example, checking in with your friends, helping an elderly neighbour with the shopping. I have got really close with my neighbours during lockdown and I've built a really strong relationship. When it was VE Day, we all went out and sat out outside the front of our houses. I live on a little cul-de-sac, so it's really quiet. And we all sat outside and we had a few drinks together and it was really nice. And I feel like I've got a stronger bond with my neighbours than I did have before, because we'll now talk to each other rather than just say a passing hi. And that to me has been really important. Relationships with my family, even though my mum is worse than me for wanting to touch me, she just wants to hug me all the time. And I have to say, just like stand back. But I try and speak to them on FaceTime pretty much all the time and see them as often as I can, even if it's from a distance. Me and my brother, which is an interesting relationship in itself. Richard and I, we've never historically got along. He got married at the beginning of lockdown and now I feel like our relationship is probably the strongest it ever has been because we've checked in on each other. And I think this time has given us a bit of a different relationship. There's other stuff behind that, but it is because it really focuses your mind on what's important. My seventh tip is all around creating routine or structure. Old routine is out the window. We've got to forget it. It's gone. We can't get it back at the moment. So it's important to try and create a new one, an enjoyable routine to invoke that sense of stability. It's a time when everything is so uncertain. So it's something that you control if you're creating your own routine. With new rules and restrictions constantly changing, this may have to adjust in certain cases. But if you start by enforcing small daily habits that you can repeat, it'll make you feel more in control. So getting up and spending 15 minutes of meditating or 30 minutes of reading every day, these habits can be repeated even if there's a change in restrictions. And it means that you will feel like you're more in control, even if you can't go into the office or see your friends. Create as much certainty for yourself as you can. My new routines are going running when it's not raining and dark, and also trying to get up a little bit earlier so I can have a bit more time in the morning. I'm definitely enjoying that. And my final tip is all about building your resilience bank account. And the concept is coined by Professor Michael Madius, someone who looks at skills for optimal performance. The idea of resilience bank account is gradually building regular practices to promote resilience and provide a fallback when life gets tough and things get hard in your life. It would be nice to have a fat account already, but it's never too late to start. So how do you do that? You focus on your sleep, you focus on your nutrition, you focus on exercise, meditation, self-compassion, gratitude, connection, and saying no. You've got to start really small and work your way up. Do a little bit every single day so it starts to add up and get momentum. So think of it as a savings account. Start really small and start to build up. In the middle of lockdown, when things were really tough, I posted every day what things I was grateful for. And I like to look back on those. And I've also tried to take more pictures as I've gone through this to look back on moments that I really cherish so then I can feel that sense of gratitude. My resilience bank account has also been topped up by doing Couch to 5K and getting an Apple Watch, which I know I'm very fortunate to be able to get. That has helped me because I can see my amount of exercise that I'm doing. And it also tells me to do a little bit of meditation every day because it tells me to do this breathe, which is amazing. So I try every day, and listening to books as well is something that I found great joy in. Finally, if you're really struggling with your surge capacity, then it's important to reach out to a mental health professional or even someone you can trust to speak to about it. Never, ever suffer in silence. If I didn't have my support network and my friends and family around me that I could turn to, I think I would really struggle, and I really benefit from being able to offload and also in turn listen to them when they're struggling. So let's make sure we're all there for one another. We at Social Chain are doing this in a number of ways to help each other out. We've hired Seb as a development coach for people to be able to see further and think about their progression outside of what's going on in the world. The development coach Seb has started now, and he has already seen about 8 or 9 people, and it's going fantastically well. There's happiness check-ins that the team do regularly, so we get a barometer of how people are feeling. We can choose whether or not to come into the office, and you can create your own routine from that. And then everyone this Friday or this Monday have got a day off for World Mental Health Day, which is on Saturday the 10th. And that is because we're seeing a massive amount of burnout, and I want to give people the time back to be able to do something to focus on their well-being for the day. And I can't wait to hear the stories of what people have done over those 2 days. And if you've listened to the podcast before, you know when I do these ones on my own that we encourage people to send in an admission submission through the website www.katieleeson.com. And I've had one sent to me, which was sent on the 10th of September, which was before the new restrictions were announced. And the subject read, "I want a second wave of lockdown." And this was from a female aged 26. The message read, "I want a second wave of lockdown because my anxiety is really bad at the moment, and the thought of going back to work sends me into a panic. I feel a lot of pressure to not go back to my service industry job and try and pursue my career aspirations, but getting into that chosen field is hard. I really think the more time would help me figure it out and take this mind-numbing anxiety away. I struggle with mental health issues, and I've had some intrusive thoughts recently. I also feel a lot of pressure from loved ones to have succeeded by now. The rejection from job applications also sends me in a downward spiral, and I'm not sure what to do." First off is what I've said before. If you're really struggling, make sure you're speaking to a mental health professional or someone that you can rely on and trust and feel comforted by speaking to them. And I can completely understand why people would feel like at that point, a second wave of lockdown, like a full lockdown, not this ambiguity that we're in now, you can control that better because you know what the rules are. We did have people on furlough, and what we've done when we brought people back off furloughs is we've done it as a phased return, because I want people to feel like it's not all or nothing and you're not thrown straight back in at the deep end. I think for this person, it's difficult for me to know what type of job you're going for, what you're looking for. I've said this so many times, but you really need to look at what your values are. Be kind to yourself because it's incredibly hard at the moment. The job market is tough. And don't feel like the rejection is because you're not good enough. It's because there's a lot of people in the market. So if you really want that job, think about creative applications. Think about ways you can get yourself to stand out. Look at, really research the companies that you're going for and the people that you're applying to. Understand a little bit about them. Really put some thought into your application. So then you know you've given it your best shot. Keep going. Don't be hard on yourself. Really focus in on what it is you want to do, and that passion will shine through with your job application. And I just want to wish you the best of luck. I know it's really hard. You're going to be fine. It's going to be amazing. You're going to get that job eventually, and it'll be the right job for you. I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason, which at the moment is a hard thing to believe, but take the positives out of it. Really get to know yourself. Really find it out what it is that you really want to do and what you're passionate about. And the rest will follow. I really hope those tips and a bit of understanding from a psychological background will help you will help everybody understand why you're feeling like you are right now. I really hope that this episode gives you a reason to know why you are feeling a bit shit. We all are. We're all in the same boat. And I'm here with you. We are going to get through this together. And I want to say thank you for listening. And thank you for all the feedback on this series so far. We're absolutely loving it. Got some amazing guests coming up. I can't wait for you to listen. Thank you so much. And we will see you next week.